Boy, it's been a bunch of emotions that we've been going through these last few months, but I'm going to make a quick announcement here to some more emotions that are going to fill the room. And many of you have heard some news here recently that we've had a tragedy take place yesterday. During all this excitement and everything that we've been doing here at Calvary Church, we lost one of our own from our network office down in Columbus. Mr. Jim Palmer was killed in a car accident yesterday, and it was a tragic situation. Jim was just here a few weeks ago. If you remember, he was in our service. Jim's been overseeing this project for many, many months on behalf of the Ohio Ministry Network of the Assemblies of God, and he has been working with me, and I've been working with our partners that I've mentioned, and we've been coordinating a lot of things. He was one of the individuals on the team down in Columbus that was just keeping an eye on what we were doing here. And Jim, unfortunately, was killed in a crash yesterday early morning on I-70 heading west, and somebody hit him from behind. The car went out of control and went across the median into head-on traffic. But I think many of you know who Jim is, was, and continues to. We want to honor him, and this is, of course, a last-minute addition to our service, but I just could not have a service this morning as we launched our new worship center without honoring Jim, my friend. He's been with me now doing this for so many months and kind of coaching me through and helping us and partnering with us and all the stuff that was going on behind the scenes that many of the church did not know. He continued to do that up until the final hours. I talked to him just a couple weeks ago and took him to lunch, and he was checking up on us, and it was just so surreal yesterday. And many of you here know who Jim is, and I would just like to read something from the Ohio Ministry Network of the Assemblies of God. We are Assembly of God Church, and Jim was our assistant superintendent of the Assemblies of God. And I would like to read this. It says, Jim Palmer was a great leader of a young generation of world changers as he embarked as the district youth director. This is early on in Jim's ministry. He also was a trailblazer that impacted the people of the great city of Columbus as a church planter. Jim led the youth for many years down in Columbus over the state of Ohio, and then he planted churches. He was an apostolic father who helped to send sons and daughters throughout the world in missions endeavors to preach the gospel. He was a tremendous leader for both the churches and pastors all around this great state in the United States of America. Most of all, he was a loving husband and father to a wonderful family. Jim Palmer was a great reflection of Jesus on this earth. He epitomized what multiplying the body of Christ meant and what we're all about. We will miss Jim dearly. We here at Calvary Church will be committed to honoring his legacy. And I would like to ask you a favor, if we could just bow our hearts for a moment of silence for a few seconds in honor of Pastor Jim Palmer. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Boy, I know that Jim lived by exactly what I'm preaching on today. Jim lived a life of no regret. You know, that's just the kind of guy he was, and many of you here lived the same lifestyle of no regrets, and I'm going to be preaching a new sermon series on that today, and I'm going to be continuing for weeks to come, probably through the end of February. But this is exactly how he lived. You know, this has been a situation this past week with big-name people passing away in terrific, horrible helicopter crashes. If you watch the news, Kobe Bryant, the basketball star for the Los Angeles Lakers, who is retired, crashed and died along with a number of people, which I'll speak to in a minute. And then as we went through the week and I was preparing for this service and we were doing what we're doing here today and then get the word that Jim Palmer passed away yesterday, it's just been a wild ride of emotions. And it's not that basketball stars make your pastor kind of a little upset, but it just makes me reminds me of how much I need Jesus. It reminds me of the God I serve. It reminds me that I live a life of no regrets. It just reminds me of who I am in Jesus and what I need to do. And it's kind of funny because I entitled this message, No Regrets. And if you enjoyed the worship and praise band this morning, they used to sing out throughout the community, far and wide, and their band name was no regrets. And I didn't know that until recently, and I entitled my message, No Regrets. It was kind of so surreal when I just got to thinking, you know, boy, that's the worship team's name back in the day, No Regrets. In church, I could stand here before you and say, we've got no regrets. But I just want to take things from a couple different perspectives today. I want to look at a basketball star. I want to look at Jim Palmer's life. I want to look at my life and your life. And I want to just kind of examine things for the next few minutes and let us reflect on whether we live a life of no regrets. Let me show you a quick video before we get going.
He is the greatest Laker of all time. 5-time champion. The only guard to play with one team for 20 years.
You know, I don't quit. I mean, I keep pushing and pushing and pushing to see if I can figure this damn thing out. That's who I am. And I'll try my best and I'll keep on going, man.
My brain, it cannot process failure. It will not process failure.
I love what I do. And it's as simple as that. I get so much enjoyment from it.
Once I made that commitment and said I wanted to be one of the greatest ever, then the game became everything for me.
I knew that I was not going to be stopped. So at the age of 18, this was my life. So you can't possibly become better than me because you're not spending the time on it that I do. Even if you want to spend the time on it, you can't. Because you have other things, you have other responsibilities that are taking you away from it. So I already won.
It's a lifestyle. It's a full-time commitment.
You make a choice and say, come hell or high water, I'm going to be this. Then you should not be surprised when you are that.
What we're saying, this cannot be accomplished, this cannot be done, but we are shortchanging ourselves.
When you try hard enough, dare enough, trust yourself enough, you will always go further.
I think everybody is born with creativity, but I believe it's the trust in yourself and the trust in your emotions to talk to yourself, so to speak, to become your own psychologist, to let your emotions out on a piece of paper, to not be afraid of anything, not be afraid of what people think, not be afraid of what people may say. Just be yourself.
I apologize for a couple choice words in there, but I certainly wasn't going to alter the man's words. My apology, but it just speaks to exactly how he felt and his drive, his commitment. And I thought, you know, Lord, I need something that people can identify with and that they saw in the news, whatever that may be, and to start my No Regrets sermon series, and the Lord laid that on my heart, and I just thought that was something that would fit. And I just wonder if that man, Kobe Bryant, lived with no regret. I just wonder how he lived, and I certainly don't know. I certainly am not a big fan. I was just looking for something that the people here could identify with, and we saw that in the news. And there were other people that died in a horrific helicopter crash a few days ago. If you didn't watch the news, Kobe Bryant, an NBA star, died in a horrific helicopter crash along with his lovely daughter. Her name is Gianna. She was 13. They were heading to a basketball game that Kobe was coaching. 9 people died that day. I believe that was the number. Kobe and his daughter Gianna and John Antebelli, Carrie and Alyssa. Alyssa is another basketball player on the same team. Christina Mauser died that day. She was the top assistant coach for the girls' basketball team, youth team. Sarah Chester died that day, and her daughter Peyton, who also played on the basketball team. And the pilot, of course, died. Era Zobayan, he died, and he was 50 years old, and that was the only pilot that was allowed to fly Kobe around as he took a helicopter. It's a lifestyle that most of us here probably don't understand. When you want to go someplace, you hop a helicopter as opposed to a car. But I guess that's the way they got around. And I read some news articles that talked about how he went to church shortly before they flew that day. You know, that gave me a little bit of comfort for him and his family. Although I have no idea if he lived a life of no regrets. I just don't know. But I did know Jim Palmer. I did know that man. And I know that that man lived a life of no regret because we talked about it frequently. We talked about being sold out for the kingdom of God. We talked about nothing else matters. We just go forward. But people die every day, and you have absolutely no idea if they live a life of no regret. But when God laid this on my heart, I said, Lord, if you want me to preach this, you've got to give me something. And the Lord does exactly what the Lord does. He just gives you something, does he not? And he took me to the scripture, King Solomon, the Old Testament, and in Ecclesiastes, he talks about a lot of things about regretful living. And I'm going to read you a few scriptures. They'll be on the screen behind you, behind me. And I'm going to read just a few because you can feel the passion in King Solomon's life as he looks for the meaning and the purpose of not only his life, but life in general. In Ecclesiastes number 1, it reads like this. The words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem, meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. It's just utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all the labor in which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. He advances in the scripture up to Ecclesiastes 11, 9 through 10. He continues writing and it reads like this. You who are young, be happy while you are young. The young ones in our service today, listen to this. And let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart, cast all your troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are also meaningless. He continues in Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 2, and also on verse 7, it reads like this. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Verse 7 says, remember him, your Creator, before the dust returns to the ground, which is you and I, it came from, and the spirit, which God placed inside of each of us, returns to the God who gave it to us. It's a powerful word, and he concludes in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 by these words. It says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion to all the matters. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. What a powerful word. He goes to life is meaningless. He goes through a gamut of emotions. He goes through all these things, and he comes right down to what exactly does this all mean? And I just thought this was a perfect day to talk about just no regret living. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. Listen to this quote. It goes, the book of Ecclesiastes strikes a chord in modern people who are studying the meaning of life. All things lead to meaningless and despair. If you live a life without God, the whole duty of human being is to fear God and keep his commandments. Solomon wrote about the meaning of life, how he felt at the time. A lot of that I just read, many of you are feeling maybe the same. You know, we evaluate our lives all the time and we say, do I have meaning? Do I have purpose? Do I live no regrets? And some days I think we say, yeah, I'm doing that. And other days we say, no, I'm just not feeling that today. And I thought as we started this new life and new season at Calvary Church, this would be the perfect opportunity to speak to no regret living. You know, that book survived all this time. The Word of God is true. Ecclesiastes was, 500 years before Christ came on this earth. Solomon, king of Israel, had unlimited resources, a bunch of time, power, money, opportunity. And he searched for meaning. He searched for purpose. I'm not going to get into all about King Solomon today. I just want to relate what he was feeling a little bit to me and to you, and put things in perspective for big basketball stars that pass away and pastors who have led thousands like Jim Palmer and how they lived as well. But really, I just kind of want to settle in and say, how do I live? And how do you live? Do we live that kind of lifestyle? Is that who we are as people? You go back through the scriptures, and I kind of diagrammed the scripture in Ecclesiastes. I said, wow, look at this, the first couple of chapters. They're laid out, and he talks about life without God is just total despair. It's just meaningless, he says. He moves through the scripture in chapters 3 through 12, and he says, well, I've got God, but for some reason, it's just no picnic either. It's exactly how we feel today. Without God, we're just total despair. We get God in our lives, and we say, wow, there's still trials, there's still tribulations. It's no picnic now. And we kind of struggle with the fact that without God, I had some despair, and now I have God in my life, and I kind of have some trials and tribulations. Where do I go? What do I do? And in chapters 11 and 12, he starts to talk directly to us. And at the end of the scripture, he says this. He says, I wish I could do it all over again. I have regret. You know, that's how a lot of us live. We go through life and we get to certain times and we say, boy, I regret doing that. I regret saying that. And while I just have some regret, and I don't think there's anybody here that can say they've never had regret. But it's just one of those emotions that God gave us, but we're regretful sometimes. And I just wonder today, you know, how do we live? Do we live no regrets? Tough to do. King Solomon didn't do that. He didn't do that. And I start looking at what's this regret thing? What does this mean? What's it mean in the scriptures? What does it mean every day for us? There's two levels of regret I found. The first level is while you're living, like today. Maybe you have regrets about something, but you know, you sit here today and the pastor's talking about regrets and you say, I can change that. Because you're alive and you're living and you can change it. So you feel, okay, although I have some regrets, I can change it. Then there's this other level of regret. It's when you're dying. I can't change it any longer. It's going to the grave with me. And you just saw a video of a very famous basketball star that took possibly some regrets with him. I honor Jim Palmer, and I just wondered, does Jim take any regrets? And I bet you he did not. That's one I know. But I'm not sure. I have no idea of his heart other than what you saw and what he preached. I assume everything's great. But only God knows the heart, the Bible says. Only God knows the heart. You know, if you've ever studied psychology, anyone here has ever studied psychology, you would know the name of Erik Erikson, a very famous psychologist. And Erik came out with this levels of life, stages of life years back. And he had 8 of them. And he said there are 8 stages of life. And each stage has a positive side and a negative side. And the 8th stage is what he called the bed stage. And that's being basically bedridden. A positive side would be what? And then there'd be a negative side. And you're thinking, Pastor, what could it be if you're bedridden and you're en route to eternity, and what could be positive about that? Well, I'll tell you what it is. When you're lying on bed and you're just know you're maybe days, weeks, or months away, you could have happy thoughts. And you could say, wow, I did all right. I did all right. I have no regret. I'm not perfect. I made my mistakes, but you know, I did all right. I think that was Jim Palmer. And then the other one, which is the negative side, you say, I didn't do so good. I didn't do the right things. I didn't say the right things. I didn't go to the right places. I got terrible regret. But see, in that stage of life, at the eighth stage, the bed stage, you can't change it. You can repent of it, yeah, but you can't go back and say, I want a do-over. You can't say it's time for a do-over. There are four regrets that we're going to take to the grave with us, church. And I want to go over those with you today. I want to dive into four big regrets that I think are very prevalent in Scripture, especially the one I just read. And I just thought, you know, this is something that could really help us. We could really dive into this. And the Lord laid this on my heart, so we're going to do that this morning. And the first regret, the big one, is missed enjoyment. It's missed enjoyment. Look what I read, and let's go back to Ecclesiastes 11, 7 through 8. It reads like this. Oh, how sweet the light of day. Oh, how wonderful to live in the sunshine. Yes, church, I know we're in Ohio in winter. There is sunshine. My Starbucks friends here in the front hear me whine about lack of sunshine at Starbucks all the time, and I'm going to tell you, I know I do. I know I whine about it, and they kind of give me the look about, boy, he's whining about it again. Yeah, I love the sunshine. I love to be outside. And, you know, I see the scripture, and I kind of get regretful. I do. Because he's saying, how sweet the light of day, how wonderful to live in sunshine. Even if you live a long life, don't take a single day for granted. Take delight in each light-filled hour, remembering that there also will be dark days, trials and tribulations. You know, that is just a powerful word. And I find myself, as pastor, I find myself doing that exact same thing. I find myself missing and regretting. I don't have that enjoyment that he talks about because I kind of complained and whined about the sunshine or lack thereof. And, you know, I'm losing the opportunity to live that day in victory and enjoyment. And that's a big, big regret. Every day, you hear this all the time, every day is a gift from God, and we have to enjoy it in the fullest. And here the pastor sometimes whines about the sunshine, and my wife smiling down front saying, oh, you whine more than that, be honest. And I was, yes, I know. I am a whiner about lack of sunshine and temperatures and whatnot. And, you know, and I read that scripture, and I get convicted. I get regretful, and God checks my spirit, and he says, don't do that, because this is a gift. And you'll be regretful of missed enjoyment. And church, I don't want that to happen to me. And I certainly don't want that to happen to you. And this first regret of missed enjoyment, what's it talking about? I'll tell you what it's talking about. It's talking about attitude. It's talking about my attitude, your attitude. It's just talking about attitude in general. What is my attitude? And I have to make sure, as pastor, as a person on this planet, I got to make sure my attitude is right. Because why? Because I don't want to be in the eighth stage of life and I look back and say, wow, I just didn't have a good attitude. I regret that. I don't want that to happen. Now, by and large, I have a really good attitude. But it's kind of funny how God gave me this scripture for this day on the very area that I kind of whine about, sunshine and temperature. And then he gave it to me in the middle of winter. Now, let's just be honest here. We know that we've had like the most mild winter ever, right? I don't remember it being like this. We've had really no snow, a little bit one day, and I did the snow blower, and of course I was complaining and whining doing that. And, you know, the afternoon, it was 50 degrees, and I didn't have to do it in the first place. And boy, I didn't like that at all, you know. But wow, what a powerful word, my attitude. You know, I don't want us to miss enjoyment. I don't want us to have regret about missing enjoyment. That is a regret I just don't want to have. There's another regret, regret number two. And here's a big one. It's called missed opportunity. missed opportunity. And in the scripture, it reads like this. Ecclesiastes 11:9, it says, young man, it's wonderful to be young. Okay, now for everybody here that's a little bit older, tell me, is it wonderful to be young? Yeah, it's wonderful to be young. Do you regret not being younger? I regret not being younger, right? So here's the scripture telling you young people here, listen to this clearly. It says, young man, it's wonderful to be you. Enjoy every minute of it. Do all you want to do. Take in everything. See, mom and dad, I see people going like this. So, you know, take in everything, right? But realize this, you must give an account to the living God for it. Pastor, what does that mean? That means go do what God's laid on your heart to do and experience life and don't have any regrets of missed opportunity. Go do it, but keep in mind, there is a person above watching your moral compass. And you've got to make sure you stay within the lines. I call this play hard, work hard, but stay inside the fence. You know, you're young and you feel like you could conquer the world and you go out and do exactly what you want to do. And if I hear from my kids one more time, Dad, I can do what I want. I can just do what I want. Yeah, I know you can do what you want. Go do it. Dad, I need money. No, go do what you want to do, right? Missed opportunity. And now this one kind of hits home for me because, you know, in my younger days and even now, I was an entrepreneur and I've had a number of business entities and I founded myself. And when my wife and I got together like forever ago, she was a little nervous about that. Really nervous. Because I was a guy that would look for opportunity. I was a man of vision. I would go get it. And that's kind of like a risk taker. And that's kind of dangerous. You know, she was the 8-to-5 type, well, you know, not 8-to-5, but 8-to-8 or whatever, you know, lots of hours in the church and the job and all that. And, you know, I was kind of like this risk taker type entrepreneur type guy and businessman that does ministry and the minister that does business. And, you know, it's way different. And I don't want to miss an opportunity. I don't want to be regretful later in life that I missed the opportunity to do something. And that's me. You know, that is me. But it's really unique how you're like that and God wires you like that. But there's also this fence, this wall. We hear a lot about the wall, right? But you can't get, you should not go over this fence. And that's the moral compass God places in my life. And he says, listen, the scriptures are clear. Go enjoy your life. Move out into opportunity, but don't cross over the fence. And as a young entrepreneur like I was and young minister, there was plenty of times, as there are now, but basically when I was younger, a whole lot more that would tempt you to go over the fence and do things that you should not do. You know, when you're an entrepreneur, you could like do things with your taxes and you can do things here and you could do things there and you could do whatever. And, you know, I had opportunity to do things that you should not do. I have no regret about that. I have no regrets because I didn't do them. I stayed within the fence. I stayed within the boundaries that God laid down. I stayed within his parameters. And I can look back then, I could say today, I have no regrets. God gave me opportunity after opportunity after opportunity, and I stayed within the fence. I didn't and won't go outside the boundaries of the fence because I know outside the fence is going to be life without God. And I can't live out there. I can't live a regretful outside the fence life. And I'm one to really go after those opportunities. But I can't be regretful over that. I just can't. It's too risky. I'm a risk taker, but I'm not a risk taker with my eternal life. Just not going to do that. When I get to the 8th stage of life, whenever that may be, I want to come back and say, Lord, thank you that I went after every opportunity that you placed before me with no regrets. No regrets. And there's a third regret. And this one's going to hit home with some of us. It's the regret of a heavy heart. a very heavy heart. Chapter 11, verse 10, and it reads, so then, Solomon says, so then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Guard your heart from too much heaviness is what that means. What is that? I'll tell you what that is. Guard your heart from just too much responsibility. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm one of those guys that says, I'll do that for you. There's many of us like that here in this church. You know, there's a project that needs done, and someone says, I'll do it, Pastor, I'll do it. We don't know how to say no, right? A lot of the things you see around here today is people have said, I just don't want to say no, let's go do it. But you know, you can't live forever and ever and ever living like that and taking on more and more responsibilities. Your heart starts to be heavy. The weight of the world, that expression, I have the weight of the world on my shoulders. I just can't do it anymore. It's too much. God didn't want you to get there. That's a regret that God says, I don't want you to live. I don't want you to be there. I struggle with that. The weight of the world is on my shoulders. That's what my mom used to say when I was growing up. I really didn't understand it. A single mom working full time and a half, trying to raise kids by herself. She would say this often, and I didn't get it. Today I get it. She had too much responsibility. And over time, it started to break her down. Her emotionally broke her down. It broke her down spiritually. It broke her down physically. It was just too heavy of a burden to bear. See, God never wanted us to live like that. Before we came out here, we were praying with the worship team in the back. I said, now listen, part of my sermon, there's going to be a piece here that you guys can't listen to. That was it right there. So the worship team, that's not for you. But yeah, it's a heavy heart. And listen to this quote about having a heavy heart. It says, it's easier to ride the wave than to control the sea. Most of us, though, are tied in knots in our attempts to control the sea. Church, the sea is not ours to control. But many of us here today have a heavy heart of regret because we're trying to control the sea. We're trying to do too much. And God never intended that to be like that. We're doing too much in life. We've got too many things, whatever those things may be. And Solomon wrote about that anxiety and that heavy burden and that stress and that anxiety, all those things. He said, you got to get rid of that. You got to figure it out. You got to figure it out. We don't need to live with that regret of a heavy heart. We don't need to live like that. We don't need to go through life with such regret because you have so much in your life that you cannot juggle it all. Putting out fires and living this life that, you know, you got to get through one more day and one more day. You can't see the forest despite the trees. You know that saying. And we live like that. And we're trying to control the sea, but God says the sea is not for you to control. We should ride it. You should ride the wave. In the seasons of life, the Bible says we just ride the wave and you go and let God take you from where you're at to where you are going to be and where God wants you. And you know, if you've been around Calvary Church, I say that a lot because it's so true. God takes you from where you're at to where you want to be, where he wants you to be. And you ride the wave until we get caught up in the minutia of all the details and all the things and the heaviness. And we sit here today at Calvary Church on February 2nd, Groundhog's Day. No, Super Bowl Sunday, I mean. And we think and contemplate my life. And my regrets, and how heavy my heart is today. So, Pastor, where are we on all this? Those are three big regrets. I talked about having a joyful attitude about life. That was your first regret. You got to stay on the positive side. You have to seize every opportunity, but live within the fence. Right? You have to keep your heart light. It's not up to you to control the sea. Guess what, church? Here's a great saying. My mom again. Brad, you can wait. Brad, it can wait. Just, you can wait, right? You can wait. I didn't like to wait. Maybe you know I'm not the most patient guy around. There, you're not supposed to smile with that one. Don't smile. Regret number four, and here's the biggie, not serving God while you're young. You know, in church work, and we've got the presbyter here for the East Central section and his lovely wife, Robin, Dave Kidd and Robin Kidd, and they'll attest to this, pastors, you know, we know in the ministry that, you know, they want to get the kids early because when they get older, it's very difficult to get them in church. So we go after them when they're young. And we want to, one of the core values here at this church is, you know, we value the younger generation. And that's exactly why you see this. It's not necessarily because it's the way I wanted it as much as it was a vision God gave me because he said, you got to reach the younger crowd. And this is the kind of presentation they like. It's not necessarily everything that I like. It's not necessarily everything the worship team likes. It's just what God thinks, you know, what God laid on my heart and what we think we have to do to reach people. Because that's the important thing. And the younger generation liked things that I didn't like when I was in the younger generation necessarily. It's different. It's different today. But not serving God while you're young will be a big regret. If you're young here today, listen to me, because it says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, it says, remember your creator in the days of your youth. Before the days of trouble come, trials and tribulations, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Pastor, what does that mean? Well, trials and tribulations. What's finding no pleasure in life? Old. Old. Me. Me. Older. And some of you. He's writing to the younger. And he's saying, when you get older, you're not going to find as much pleasure in life as you did when you were younger. Now, I'm a whopping, well, anyways, I'm a little bit older, you know. I'm not going to say, I just had a birthday and I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. It's okay, because I feel young. But you got to serve God when you're young. Because when you get older, it's not going to be as pleasurable as it was when you were younger. You can't do the things that you used to be able to do, not only physically, but emotionally. I just can't remember half the things I try to remember. I just can't remember. How many can't remember? Come on, be honest. See, look at that. You just can't remember like you did when you were younger. Now, the younger ones, if you can't remember, let me know. Are you here? See, they can't even remember they're young. So they can't even raise their hand. No, they're young, but they just don't have those problems like we do, right? No pleasure. He's talking about having some regret. He talks about, hey, remember, that's not in the scripture. That's not remember what color hair you have or the fact that you don't have any hair. It's not saying remember what you wore last week. It's saying remember is like one of those deep descriptive words in the scriptures that says, you know, there's got to be some meaning there. Remember is a deep action word. It means that I am talking about something and I'm going to have a way of doing something about it. It means I remember this and I'm going to make a difference. I remember when I used to be like this and I change. I remember when he or she used to do this. I remember when my wife was like this. No, not you, dear. I remember when I'm going to make a change. Why do you make a change? So I don't have regret when I'm older. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about living no regrets in life. I live the no regret life, and that's what he's calling you to do. He says, remember the Lord in the days of our youth. It means to embrace him, to love him, to serve him. Because guess what? When you're in the eighth stage of life, the bed stage, if you get to that stage, some like Jim never made it to that stage, unfortunately. But when you get there, you can lay there and say, I had no regrets. God gave me opportunity. He gave me joy and I had a good attitude. I have all those things. And I know some of you, if not many of you here, live like that. You are an inspiration to me. I aspire to be like you. I see some of them right in the front row. I aspire to be that way, living no regrets, enjoying life inside the fence with my opportunities, day by day, plugging away, doing what God's called us to do. And I remember when I was young, not that I'm super old, but well, I'm kind of old. And I remember serving when I was young. I served when I was young. And I thank the Lord I did. I served God when I was young. I served God in middle age. I served God in a little bit later middle age. I'm still serving. And I have no regrets. None whatsoever. Solomon is saying, let's make a difference for heaven. Let's make a difference for heaven. Because church, when it's all passed away, when everything has been removed from life, when everything has changed and you're in the eighth stage of life, when you're laying on your bed and you know time is short, there's only one thing you're going to have left. There's nothing left in your life. You can't do anything. You've got one thing left. Are you regretful for living for Jesus or not? Because maybe very shortly, you're going to meet him. We just had a dear saint in this church pass away a couple days ago, and she was just ready. She was in the eighth stage of life. She lost her husband 2 months earlier. The eighth stage of life. I'm going to ask our music team to come back to the platform as I bring this in for a landing. But I'm going to tell you something. Your pastor doesn't want to live with a regretful life. You know, I don't want to live having regrets in my life. Pastor, you've never made a mistake. Yeah, I make mistakes, and there's trials and tribulations, and I've missed opportunity, and I whine about the sun, and, you know, I just got to, every day, I've got to do better than I did yesterday. I figure, church, you know, if I could be better today than I was yesterday, then I'm making progress. Right? I got to learn how to not have so much heaviness so I don't regret all this heaviness. It's been a heavy load doing what you see before you, but not too heavy. It's not been too heavy. And I can look back and say, Lord, thank you. I don't have a ton of regret. I can't say I am totally no regrets. But as I mentioned earlier, there's a level that says I'm still here and I can make a difference. I can make a change. I'm not in the eighth stage of life. I just have a question for you today, church. Are you living with no regrets? Am I describing you today when I say you live with joy and opportunity and there's enjoyment in your life and the sun comes up and you go out and say, another day. Thank you, Lord, I got another day. Because we don't know when the helicopter is going to crash. We don't know when we're going to spin out of control in a car. We don't know. We can't afford to get up one day and say, I don't want to be here. We've got to get up and say, Lord God, thank you that I am here. No matter what you're carrying, what heaviness, what burden, what's going on in your life, it doesn't matter. We have to get up and say, Lord God, thank you for another day. Another day. The day might not look the greatest to some of us, and we look at our day and we say, wow, I've got all this stuff to do today, but I tell you what, at least you're breathing. And you can make a difference in that day. Ecclesiastes 12:13, he wrote it like this. Now all has been heard. Now here is the conclusion to the message on this matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including everything hidden in your heart, whether it's good or evil. God's going to bring it to the surface. And I'm going to make sure, church, when God brings it to the surface, I am okay to be surface ready. How many here know who Billy Graham is? The older ones know. The younger ones not so sure. The middle ages say, yeah, I've heard that guy. I grew up watching my mom watch Billy Graham. I don't think there was a day in my life growing up that my mom didn't have Billy Graham on somehow, somewhere, or on the radio. It was just a staple in my life. Billy Graham, in the eighth stage of life, talks about regret. And I'm going to read you his direct quote in the eighth stage of life. And here it is. Although I have much to be grateful for as I look back over my life, I also have many regrets. I failed many times. And I would do many things differently if I had the opportunity. For one thing, I would speak less and study more. I would spend more time with my family. One of the greatest evangelists that ever lived has regrets that he didn't spend enough time with his family. One of the greatest evangelists that ever lived has regrets that he didn't study more. How could you not study more? How could you study more? I read the books. All we did was study. And his regret is, I gotta study more. He continues. And I would give more attention to the fellowship with other Christians who could teach me and encourage me and even rebuke me when necessary. That's what I want to. And then he concludes by saying, about one thing I have absolutely no regrets is that my commitment many years ago to accept God's calling on my life as an evangelist for the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have no regrets. That's regret-free living. Mark 8:36 reads like this. What profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? That is regretful. We sit here today in this new worship center that God's blessed us with, and many of us are living with regrets. But your pastor is here to tell you that you have the opportunity today to live with no regrets. You have the opportunity to cry out to heaven and say, Lord, I am going to make a change. That's one of the levels of regret that you have, the ability to change it. Because you're living. And you can make a change. And I'm going to give you that opportunity. I do this a lot because I don't know if we're going to leave here today and end up back here next week. You are all invited back next week. I'd love to see you. The fact of the matter is, church, there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that the helicopter will arrive safely. There's no guarantee the car will arrive safely. It doesn't matter who you are. That was the point with the video. No one's safe, right? My kids tease and say, well, there's only two things in life I know about, and that's death and taxes. See, you're too young to know about taxes. I don't like taxes, right? I'm going to give you the opportunity to live with no regrets. I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts, bow your eyes, bow your heads. Now, I'm just going to ask you a question. Church, if you want to live with no regrets, you may have some regret in your life right now, but you want to live a life of no regret, not only now, but in the future. I want you to slip your hand up because I want to pray with you today. Just slip your hand up. There's hands going up all over the place. Once you put your hand up, you can put your hand down. I'm going to pray for you today. We're going to close and see you off with no regrets. And God's going to make a change in your life this week because you raised your hand at a church because you want regret-free living. Father God, in Jesus' name, Father, I pray right now for those that raised their hand. I pray for those that didn't raise their hand that wanted to raise their hands. I pray today, Lord God, that you reach down and touch them, that they evaluate their lives on these regrets that I spoke of today. I pray, Lord God, that you cleanse them and make them whole. I pray, Lord God, that they run after you. I pray, Lord God, that they don't have regret in their life. Whatever regrets they're facing now, Lord God, I pray that they leave this place with no regrets. Lord God, we understand that you can erase the regrets in our life. Lord God, I thank you for that. You can forgive us of our sins and our regrets. And Lord God, I pray for each and every one of us here today. Would you do just that? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, stand with me, please. We're going to close in some worship and praise. Hey, you're considered dismissed as we start. If you need prayer today, I'd love to pray with you. Come up front in our new altar. I'd love to pray with you. We go with our blessing, and we love you. We'll see you next week. God bless you, and again, thanks for coming and worshiping with us.